Welcome. Good to have you all out tonight. Get a little rain out there, and we need a little rain, so that's good. Actually, we need a lot of rain, so hopefully it keeps up for a little longer, and we get enough rain to do us for the autumn, and then hunting season can come, and we won't have to get rained out for that, right? Not that I'll get anything anyway. All right, trust you had a good afternoon, and it's good to be back with you this evening. We're going to continue through the series, Seven Things About, and last week we'd started one. We didn't get very far, but it was Seven Things About Renewing Your Mind. And so we're going to pick it up here tonight. We'll see how far we get. We're gonna start with the very first point here in a minute, but turn in your Bibles, I guess, to Psalm 139. I'm going to push you ahead a few references, and then you'll be there when we get there. But we've been talking about renewing your mind, or renewing our mind, thinking differently. And we quoted a couple of verses last week, several actually. The first one, I guess, was Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I think I got that mixed up. Maybe I think I added some of verse 1 into verse 2. Anyway, that's the idea. Maybe I didn't. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God at the end of verse 2. The point is that in that verse we are commanded not only to give ourselves physically in the body to the Lord God, but also mentally in the thinking part of who we are. And so we bring all of ourselves to the work or the service of the Lord God, both body and mind, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, having a different mind or thinking in a different way. So the first point we started last week, and we're gonna start there again. I'm gonna pray, and then we'll get into the first point quickly and then continue to look through the rest of these. But the whole point of this is to remind us to be actively and consistently training ourselves to think like Jesus. Does anybody know the book In His Steps by Charles Sheldon? Some of you know that book? Yeah. So this is where that concept or that phrase, what would Jesus do, came from. Many years ago, Charles Sheldon wrote this fictional book, and kind of took off a little bit, especially that little phrase, what would Jesus do? And some people have an issue with it, and some people think it's kind of silly. Other people kind of hold on to it. I think that in regards to our walk with the Lord, it's good advice to consider how Jesus would behave, how he would think, how he would respond or react, and then try to model ourselves accordingly, to follow those examples. And often it starts with the way we think. Once the thinking changes, the doing begins to follow suit. Remember, wherever the mind wanders, the body tends to follow. What you spend all your time thinking about, eventually you'll start doing. And that's a good thing if it's a good thing. It's a bad thing if it's a bad thing. And so the mind is an important thing to consider. We were sort of answering some of these questions in regards to, is it important? Is it biblical? Should we be concerned about the way that we think? And the answer is yes. Biblically speaking, the Bible has a lot to say about how we think. And the renewing of our mind, the idea is that we change our thinking, changing our thought processes, our thinking patterns, and we try to line them up with the Word of God, the will of God, or the mind of Christ, that we would think according to His teaching, His Word. And that takes a lot of doing. And we all go through these little exercises in many different ways to think differently than we do. A doctor goes to school. He learns medicine so that when he leaves, he can get a job as a doctor and think differently about the people he sees on a daily basis. He's looking to diagnose illnesses and sicknesses. He looks for discrepancies in their charts and in their health and in their pulse and in their, you know, cardio and all those different things, the blood levels and the sugars and all that stuff. So he thinks differently than the average citizen who might see somebody and they might not look well, but I don't know what's wrong with them. Who cares? You know, we'll carry on. But a doctor might have some concern and might even offer some advice because, why? They're thinking differently. A mechanic, our son-in-law Isaac is a mechanic, and he's learned to think differently about cars. And he's been teaching my daughter to think differently, too. They play this little game now when they drive around. Brooklyn tries to identify the cool cars that Isaac already knows what they are. And so Brooklyn's like, is that a Camaro? Is that a Trans Am? And she could have cared less about those things before she married that fella. But now she's thinking differently about automobiles because they're important to him. They become important to her. And I'm the same. We like to daydream about the cars that we'll never afford to drive too. But that's another story. The point is that we think differently about things. Often in our lives, according to the situation we find ourselves in or the perspective that we have in the world around us. And so in regards to thinking more like Christ, it's something we have to be actively making efforts to do. I remember it was Glenn Weeks, and I know Glenn's been here. Years ago, he said this. He said, we need to practice the presence of Christ in our lives. And I love that. I jotted it down in my Bible. I've never forgotten it because that, to me, is really the one of the greatest goals in the Christian's life is to be more like Jesus. And so every day we're provided with another opportunity or many opportunities to think more like Christ and to be more like Christ. I can remember, this might sound funny to you, as a matter of fact, my wife and I were members here all those years ago when we were, before you sent us away, we were learning some things. But I remember, for whatever reason, I don't know where the idea came from, but I had a watch, and I set my watch to beep every hour through the day. Just randomly, it would beep every hour on the hour, as watches used to do. They probably still do, or cell phones or whatever. Back then, it was a wristwatch. And the whole idea was I was trying to practice the presence of Christ in my life. And every hour when my watch beeped, the only reason why I said it was when the watch went beep, I said to myself, I love the Lord. The Lord is with me every step of the way today. And he's paying attention to my life, and I need to do my life his way. I need to obey him and please him with everything that I do. And so every hour, beep, I would train myself to hear the beep and then remind myself that I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying I perfected it by any stretch, but I am saying that practicing the presence of Christ in our lives or training our mind to think and react and behave like Christ is something we've got to put effort into. We've got to actively make efforts to do that. Because a lot of times we don't want to. I don't want to. So there are some days I want to be in a bad mood. I want to be grumpy or upset or bitter about something. And the Lord is convicting me and it's like, put that away. Think like Christ, but I'm confronted with that and convicted or challenged to change my thinking. How would Jesus respond? How would Jesus react? How would he handle himself with the different challenges that life has to offer? And then we try to fall in line with his example, do what he did. And so the whole thing, concept or object of this little message is to remind us that we've got to be training ourselves to think like Jesus, to have a mind that he's pleased with. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll go ahead and get into some of these things. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the rain. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for our day today, for your love for us, and for your grace. Thank you for Christ. And, Lord, as we consider your word tonight, because this is where we glean the information, the wisdom that we lean into is from your word. It's your truth. We pray that you would help us to understand it. Help us, Lord, to really grasp these verses that we're going to look at, and that we would, Father, just allow you unhindered to change the way we think about the world we live in and about the challenges we face, or, Lord, about anything that you want to change. So we just pray, help us to understand these things this evening, and that it would be a blessing to each of us, that we would leave here feeling equipped and motivated to have purpose and to practice the presence of Christ in our lives more than ever. Lord, we pray and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I've had lots of conversations with folks that were raised to believe a certain way and in a completely different religion. And I've sat down with these folks who have come to the end of those religious organizations with no peace, no contentment, no joy, and no hope, unfortunately. And I've had the opportunity to fortunately introduce Christ to them. And so we share the gospel, and they come to believe, and they come to be saved, and they start to grow. And what I've noticed is a lot of those folks that come out of different religious backgrounds have a hard time changing the way they think. to think differently about the world they live in according to the scriptures. And it can be really hard. I remember one in particular fellow who was fearful on a daily basis that when he died, he was gonna go to hell. He believed that if you did anything wrong, you would lose your salvation. And because he did things wrong on a daily basis, every day he worried, oh no, maybe this will be the day that I'll die and I'll not be saved. And so we talked about this several times, probably four or five times. Almost every time we got together, we had a pretty good conversation or in-depth conversation. I remember thinking, I'm going to help him with this. I'm going to show him. And I did. I made the effort to go to the scripture, and we did a little Bible study and jotted down things and showed him, and he shook his head and seemed to get it. And then I remember the last time we got together, as I was leaving, I felt so good. I felt like, there, wow, you know, he's got that confidence and doesn't have to worry. You know, Christ is faithful. And then as I was leaving, he said, yeah, well, I appreciate your time, Pastor, but I don't know. I just hope that when I die, I end up in heaven. I thought, oh boy, you can know. And it's hard to change the way that we think. It's a real battle. And as I said last week, that's where many of the battles that we fight take place, is right in here. And the Lord wants to give us and biblically has provided us with tools to help us sort of deal with some of those challenges that we face in the arena of our mind. The first point, and we just started this last week, and I'll be quick with it, is this. Seven things about renewing your mind. Number one is there is reason to renew. There is reason to renew. In other words, it is important. It's something that every Christian should really consider. How do I think? How do I react? How do I behave? How does my thinking guide me through my life? And what does God want to change about it? And you know, God is gracious. He doesn't show up and say, everything's got to change right now, forever and for good. He is gracious and patient. And so as we learn and as we grow, the changes within our thinking also grow and change. Not always all at once as we might like, but gradually over time. There's this progressive growth in the life of a believer. As we mature, we grow and we begin and we continue to think more and more like Christ. The first one is there is reason to renew. And let me just sum it up like this. Proverbs 23:7, we referenced that last week. And it's the verse that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how we think is how we will behave. And it's where that little quote, where the mind wanders, the body will follow, comes from. But in thinking about that verse, the reason to renew, or there is reason to renew, I jotted this down, that a new way of living means a new way of thinking. Or a new way of thinking means a new way of living. Those two phrases are sort of interchangeable. They go back and forth. When you have a new way of living as new creatures in Christ, then we all obviously have a new way of thinking that the Lord wants to train us in. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. All things includes the way that we think. And we understand that, I think, for the most part. We change the way that we handle ourselves, and we change the way that we think about ourselves and about others. A few examples. I don't know how you thought about these things before you were saved, but we often think about sin differently before Christ. Before we become new creatures, sin really doesn't mean a whole lot to us. What is sin? Well, we don't know sometimes. People do things all the time, and some things we do in ignorance. We don't realize that it's an offense to God according to the Bible. But once we become saved, once we are born again as new creatures, and the Spirit dwells within us, He shows us a different perspective on the way we live. And we see things that are an offense to God. We call them sin. So I shouldn't lie. That's offensive to God, and it's not nice to do to other people. And maybe I didn't care a whole lot before about that because, you know, that's just what everybody does. But as a Christian, I'm thinking differently about that now. Now I say to myself, you know, sin, God says that lying is wrong. Matter of fact, He speaks pretty harshly about it. He doesn't appreciate lying. And so I think differently about that. I don't take it lightly, and it's because of God changing the way that we think about things. That's just an example. Sin. Death. We think differently about death. Wonderfully. One time maybe we were afraid to die and we didn't want to die and the idea was so horrible we didn't even think about death. But as new creatures in Christ, we have been saved from death. And we don't have to, yes, we are all going to leave this world through death, but to live is Christ and to die is what? gain. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we think differently now. As the Bible says, we have hope, and so we comfort one another. We say, yes, we have to face death, but not without hope. Now we face death with hope, and we know we will be with Christ. We have that confidence. So death loses its stranglehold on us in regards to fear. I don't want to die. I got lots I enjoy living for, and I want the Lord to let me serve him until I'm old and gray, you know, and nobody can recognize me anymore, and I'm drooling and have no teeth. Whatever. I want to serve the Lord until he's ready to take me home. The point is that, well, a new way of living means a new way of thinking. And I don't have to be afraid of death, of sin. My attitude about God has changed. I now fear God. I don't want to take his name in vain. I don't want to, you know, disrespect him or disobey his word willy-nilly, because I know God, and he's saved me, and he sent his son to die for me, and I'm not my own, I'm his. And we have a different attitude about fear, about troubles, about the future. And so everything changes in the life of a Christian, at least according to the way that we see the challenges of our life. We see it now through the eyes of faith. And so we think differently about those challenges, and I'm thankful for that. Although it's hard, we train ourselves, we learn. When difficulties come, okay, don't panic. This happens all the time, Tim. The Lord is going to test you. He's allowed this to come. If God allows a difficulty into my day, he knows about it. If he knows about it, he wants me to learn something from it. He wants me to behave like Christ, and he wants me to grow in faith and submit to him. And in some way, he'll use that challenge for his glory if I trust him. That's a different way of thinking, isn't it? Because most of us, and most of the time, we don't want any difficulties. Just keep everything nice. Well, it's the challenges that we face that grow our faith. And the Lord often allows difficulties to come so that we learn about his grace, we learn about his strength, we experience his love, his comfort, miracles. And so God knows what he's doing. And it's a matter of me learning to think differently about the difficulties that come, right? When the difficulties come, I don't have to say, God, where are you? Why have you forgotten me? Why are you mad at me? Why do you hate me? I can say, I've learned from the Word of God. My perspective has changed. My thinking now is, okay, God, help me through this. I know that you have something in mind to teach me, some way that you're going to bring glory to your name. So give me strength, give me wisdom. And as I work through that difficulty or that challenge, God does exactly those things. He helps me, he grows me, he instructs me, and he leads me. So there is reason to renew. A new way of thinking helps us have a new way of living. And a new way of living helps us have a new way of thinking. And as Christians, we are new creatures in Christ. Old things passed away and all things have become new. Secondly, the second reason, or I should say the second thing about renewing our minds, Psalm 139, thank you for waiting. Psalm 139, the second point is this: God minds our minds. God minds our minds. What does that mean? Well, like a miner. Somebody goes down into a coal mine or a gold mine or a diamond mine. They got the little hat on with the light so they can see. And they go down there with a pickaxe and they look in all the dark nooks and crannies and they make adjustments. They make changes. And so God, in a sense, does the same thing. He searches the inward parts of a man. He minds our minds. He pays attention to the things that we think about. He pays attention to the way that we think. And so it's important that we bear that in mind. Psalm 139, 1 and 2 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows our thoughts before we know them. He knows what we're going to think before we think them. He understands our thoughts afar off. Look down, all the way down to verses... let's see here if I can find it. 23 and 24. It says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, do I really want God to know my thoughts? Do I really want God to know my thoughts? That's a tough one. If I'm being honest, not really. Just ignore that part of me. Stay on the outside. It looks pretty good out here. Right? That's not too bad. People see me, they don't run away. But if they saw the nutty factory that's inside here, maybe they would. And so the Lord minds our minds. He pays attention. He searches the inward dark caves of our being, and he wants to root out and make changes. And so it's important that we recognize and remember that. God, in other words, knows what we think. God knows what I think, how I think, whether it's negative or unthankful or ungrateful or bitter or angry or frustrated. And he wants to bring my thinking in line with himself or with his son. Sins, I jotted down, of the mind, not seen by others, are seen by God. You know, we often sin in our mind. Nobody else knows. I can lust. Nobody knows. I can stand before a group of people like yourselves and just envy or covet or be hate-filled, and none of you would know except for me and the Lord, because he pays attention. He minds the mind of man. He knows what's going on in there, and he will reveal it to us because he wants us to change the way we think. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, and Luke 11, 17 are all references where Jesus Christ, or it says about Jesus Christ, knowing their thoughts, different interactions with Pharisees and different individuals there in those three verses, it says Jesus Christ knowing their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. Nobody else did, but he knew. And that's not to scare us. That's to help us practice the presence of Christ in our lives. You know, our mind is like a movie theater. Now, that's a little scary. I don't want any of you to buy tickets to this movie theater. All right? Except it's already got an audience of one. And he sits within the inner being of us, as it were, and he pays attention to the way that we think, the doubts, the fears, the hatred, the sin, whatever the case might be. And God is wanting to direct the movie of our minds. What goes on in here, he wants to cut things out. He wants to rewrite the script. He wants to direct the movie of our lives and the movie of our thinking. And so he's paying attention. And he wants us to have our confidence in Christ and the peace of Christ. And so he wants us to think like Christ. Matthew chapter 22, there's a verse in there that says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. So God says, I want you to love me with your mind as well. Not just do things for me, but think in a way that honors me and pleases me, because I'm inside there. I'm paying attention, and I want you to think like Christ, my son. I want you to think according to the word of God. So we renew our mind to bring our thought patterns into obedience to the Lord. Our mind is laid bare, nothing hidden. So the second reason why it's important to renew our mind, or the second thing about renewing our mind, is because God minds our mind. He knows what we think, and he wants us to think according to his word and according to his will for us. In other words, if it's lustful, envious, covetousness, hate-filled, bitterness, angry, proud, God would say, that's going to hurt you. I love you. Don't think that way. And so he wants us to think differently and respond to the challenges of life differently, not only with our bodies, because I can often, throw a lot of punches when I'm standing in a lineup somewhere and I'm waiting and I'm impatient and I'm late. I don't throw a lot of punches, but what's going on in my mind? Right? Am I pleasing the Lord with the way that I'm thinking about my particular issue that I'm having? You know, am I being honorable to the Lord? And it sounds, well, you know, God knows what we think, and he understands that we're sinful, and he doesn't really care. Well, I beg to differ, because I'm convicted about the way that I think. And there are times when I know the Lord is saying, Tim, that's not the way that I want you to think. I want you to bring your thinking in line with my son, to be gracious, patient, loving, merciful, whatever. And so God minds our minds, number two. Number one, there is a reason to renew. Number two, God minds our minds. Number three has to do with being humble-minded. The third reason why we need to renew our mind and be more like Christ is to be humble-minded. And one of the greatest passages, of course, is in Philippians chapter 2. So we'll turn there. In regards to the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go ahead and turn there. To be humble-minded. You know, I've noticed, and I've been guilty of this myself, a lot of times people mistake arrogance for confidence. They will feel like they're being confident, but in fact they're projecting pride or haughtiness or arrogance. And the Lord has called me out a few times on that. There is a difference between being so haughty and so arrogant that it comes across as arrogance and pride. And sometimes we mistake that for confidence. And the Lord would have us to be humble in spirit, even in the way that we look. A high and haughty look, the Lord despises. He doesn't want us to carry this persona or aura of arrogance, and I'm better than you, and I'm tough, and I don't care what anybody says or thinks. I'm just going to do what I want, and you try me. And, you know, that might be the way that we can survive. That might be the way to kind of keep the wolves at bay. But Christ never flexed. Can I use that word? Am I too old? Christ never flexed his muscles. He never showed off his power in a proud or prideful or arrogant way. He did what he did with humility. And this is the way that we need to think. This is the kind of humility that we need to have. Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 1. It says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Can you imagine if everyone in Canada followed this one command? Can you imagine? Every day, everybody just treated other people better than themselves. Everywhere you went, everybody was looking after everybody else. That would be a pretty nice place to live, right? Because God's instructions always work. Now, we know that's not the case, but the church, believers, myself, before God, I'm being commanded in this very verse to do exactly that. Don't do anything through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. There should be a measure of humility, of meekness, of sweetness, of gentleness with everything we do. Now, we can be angry, stand opposed to sin, abhor it, that which is evil, but sin not. And that's where humility comes into play. And you can, those two things can coexist. We can be angry and still demonstrate humility in that righteous anger. And humility, we don't use it just when we're tempted to be angry. We use it daily. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, there's a little verse in there that says, clothe yourself in humbleness. Let's look it up, actually. Good idea. Make sure I got that right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, we understand that phrase, put on. We put on earphones, we put on the radio, we put on a hat, we put on a pair of socks, shoes, clothes, we put things on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, Christians, those who have trusted Christ, body of Christ, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing, by the way, means putting up with. God literally says, you put up with one another. Well, this guy did this and said, yeah, I know. I put up with it all the time, God would say. Every day I put up with this stuff, and that's what I want you to do. You put up with it. You forbear one another. And you love one another. And love will cover a multitude of sins. And you esteem one another higher than yourselves. And look to the other man, not your own self. And so these are the instructions God gives us. And it comes when we put on or clothe ourselves with humility. Or as it says here, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, according to holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness and humbleness of mind. Put it on. When I leave the house, I don't think I've ever left the house, jumped in the car, and got halfway to town, and, oh, I forgot my shoes. That could happen. But for the most part, I always have shoes on my feet or sandals. Right? How much more important is the humility that people see? You know, and to leave the house, one of the things that we need to be careful of is to put on humility. Clothe ourselves with the humbleness that Christ demonstrated. And you might not be able to push a lot of people around, but you will definitely demonstrate the love of Christ. And people will see that difference in you. So we are told in Colossians 12 here, chapter 3, verse 12, to put on humbleness, to have humbleness of mind. Philippians chapter 2, again, verse 4, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. And so the word lowliness there means humility, to be humble. And this is the opposite of how we often want to handle life. Certainly it is for me. Again, you want to be tough and brave and outspoken and confident, we would think. And yet God says, no, I don't like a haughty look. I don't want you to brandish yourself that way. I want you to use humility. And Christ demonstrated that. Even as he was being led to the cross or as a lamb to the slaughter, he demonstrated humility. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The end of verse 3, it says, let each esteem other better than themselves. So we see how humility is demonstrated, how it's practiced. Pride says, I'm right, you're wrong, and you're going to find out. Humility says, you know what, I love you. I make mistakes sometimes, so let's carry on. And it's this meekness and this gentleness and this humility that Christ demonstrated. You know, when Peter denied Christ, one of the most riveting passages in Scripture is after he denied Christ, they led Christ out. And as Christ was walking out of the courtyard of the temple there, Peter was outside in the outer courts warming himself by the fire, and he had denied Christ. The cock crowed the third time. Peter remembered what Jesus told him, and then it says that their eyes met. Jesus looked at Peter. And in that moment, Peter remembered what Jesus said and that he had failed. He had denied him, and he demonstrated the opposite of humility, but pride. And he was broken. He went out and wept bitterly, it says. You know, humility keeps us safe from experiencing that. To esteem others higher than ourselves, as it says in verse 3, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We treat others with humility. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? The way that Christ handled himself demonstrates how he thought. Think the same way. Handle yourself the same way. That's not easy, and that's why we practice. That's why we train. That's why God forgives us. That's why we forgive one another, because it's not easy to accomplish this. Certainly not every day and not for good, but we work away. We work at it, and we do our best to grow in humility. And this is an important component to changing the way we think. I grew up, and I was told things like, look out for number one, okay? Look in the mirror. See that person there? That's the most important person, okay? Now, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. You climb that ladder to success all the way to the top. Doesn't matter who you step on to get there, okay? That's how it works in the world, is it? That's success. And yet the Bible says everything the opposite. No. You be a servant of everyone else. You don't worry about how you feel. You worry about how other people feel. You be concerned with them. And by the way, if I'm concerned with you and you're concerned with me, we're going along great. if we're concerned about each other, and I don't want to offend you, and you don't want to offend me, well, we'll just sit there not offending each other, and that would be great. And so these I hate to call them techniques, but these biblical truths that we practice will help us be more Christ-like. And it'll also deliver us from a lot of challenges in life. Let me give you one more verse just quickly. Proverbs 18:12, and I'll just quote it. It says, we know the verse, pride cometh before a fall. Proverbs 18:12 tells us the same thing, but in a different way. It says, before destruction, the heart is haughty. Not like my wife would see me and say, ooh, what a haughty. Not that kind of haughty. A-U-G-H-T-Y, and it means arrogant. Cocky is a word that we would use today to describe that, proud. And in Proverbs 18:12, it says, before destruction, the heart is that way. It's haughty. Don't behave that way. Because it says next, before honor, ooh, that sounds good. Destruction, not so good. Honor, how do I receive honor? Before honor is humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so, again, God's instructions always work. And it's up to us to sort of do the work of remembering those truths and trying to practice them. And when we stumble a little bit, God's like, yeah, yeah, you'll get it. Get back up again. A just man falls seven times. And we'll pray about this and keep working on it. And God is so patient as we learn to change the way we think about the life we have and the world we live in, the people that we interact with, the God that we love and serve, and even ourselves. And having a humble mind is one of the things that God wants to do for us. Number four, and we've got just a few minutes left here, so we won't rush. Let me just share a few things about number four, and it's simply this. One of the things about renewing our mind is that we end up being Christ-minded. I've referenced that a few times and said that a few times. We're still in Philippians chapter 2. Let's read a little further down here, starting in verse 5. If we are Christ-minded, okay, the Bible talks a lot about being double-minded, trouble-minded, carnal-minded, feeble-minded. But if we are Christ-minded, then there's a lot of advantages as servants of the Lord that we can utilize. And one of them is to serve others like Christ did. I mean, what did God say to his son? He looked down from heaven and he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Yeah. And how many of us want to hear him say that someday? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so in order to accomplish that or to work towards that goal, we need to think like Christ so we can serve like Christ and do the things that please the Father in our own lives. Christ through us. Serving other individuals is one of the ways that we become Christ-minded. That's what he said to his disciples. He said as he washed their feet, "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done for you. Serve others." Serve others. And I think about the idea of washing people's feet. Oh, do I have to do everything, Lord? However God calls us to serve others, when we do that, we are Christ-minded. And that's the way that God wants us to think. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus in regards to humility. But then it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he knew he wasn't robbing from God to be equal with God because he was the Son of God and was and is. And so as we continue to read, verse 7 though says, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't walk around brandishing that fact and telling others to get on their knees and serve him continuously and bring me my grapes and do this and do that. He didn't bully. He didn't do any of those things. He had a spirit of humility, but also says in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ served, and he humbled himself and served to the point of even giving up his own life. You can't give anything more than your life. You can give your time, you can give your money, you can give your skill, your wisdom, your resources, your efforts, and then if you give everything all at once, you give your life. You give yourself. And that's what Christ did. And so he was a servant. Even to the death of the cross, Christ served. Who did he die for? Me, you all, the whole world. He did that for us. He served us. And so he wants us to do the same thing, to be servants, to be Christ-minded. Number one is to serve. And we can see that very easily here in this verse. Let's look at another one quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. To be Christ-minded is to serve, but also to be Christ-minded is to be able to teach others about Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If we are Christ-minded, then we will serve others. If we are Christ-minded, then we will teach others about Christ. This is kind of a neat verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says something here. It's kind of challenging. Starting in verse 15, says, but he that is spiritual judges all things. You know, the world often says Christians shouldn't judge, and they take that verse out of context. We know that. But actually, no, we are to judge. That's how we analyze things around us. We judge according to what God wants us to do, and we decide not to do it, hopefully. But it says, but he he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who of you knows the mind of God? You can't instruct me on the things of the Lord. You don't know the mind of God. You don't know what the Lord would have you to tell me. You don't know how the Lord would have... Wait a second. You do. As a Christian, we do. And that's why the verse finishes with, but we have the mind of Christ. I know what the Lord has taught me, and I can tell others what he showed me. When we think like Christ, when we have the mind of Christ, we can teach others about Christ. We can teach others how to serve. We can teach others how to be humble. And we can demonstrate. It's the best way to teach, by the way, not just by what we say, by what we do. Because it's what we do that gives what we say value. Isn't that true? You can say it all day long, but it's what we do that actually puts the value on what we have said. If I say something, if I say humility is the way that God wants me to live, and I'm arrogant and pride, people won't believe a word I say. If I say humility is the way the Lord wants us to live, and I try my best to demonstrate humility, that's going to hold some weight, at least that I believe what I preach and what I say I believe. So the second way or the second benefit of being Christ-minded, and these are not the only ones, I'm just focusing on three. One is to serve others like Christ, and the second one is that we can tell others about Christ, to have a mind like Christ. And that's what the Bible teaches us to have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is that even possible? Yes. If the Spirit of God is in you, the mind of God can be in you too. But just like we have to practice the presence of Christ in our life, learn to listen to that leading of the Holy Spirit, we have to learn to practice living like Christ, thinking like Christ, serving like Christ. And as we do it, we get better and better at it. And I praise God for that. Third and finally, as we close, 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, just in answering the question, is it really that important? Is it something we really need to spend some time thinking about, how we think? And the answer, I believe, is yes. Everything starts in here, how we behave and what we do, the battle, the changes, the perspective, all starts up in here. And so God wants to have reign over our minds, over our thinking. He wants us to think his way and in these different ways that we've discussed. Number three, or the third reason why we need to have a mind like Christ or to be Christ-minded is for defense against the flesh. Defense against the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What do you think about when you think of that phrase, arm yourself? When you think of arm yourself, the idea is that you take up a weapon. You arm yourself with a weapon. You're going to go to war. That's the only reason why you arm yourself. You've got to defend yourself. You've got to protect yourself. You're going to fight. That's the only reason why you arm yourself. And we are instructed here. Remember, as Christians, we don't use worldly weapons. We use not carnal weapons. The warfare that we fight is spiritual. We use the tools and the weapons that God provides, the armor of God, the armor of light, the shield of faith, the belt of truth. That's how we fight. And here it says to arm ourselves with the same mind that Christ had in regards to his willingness to suffer. Let me read a little further. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. In other words, choosing not to sin sometimes comes with a certain measure of suffering. Sometimes choosing to obey God comes with a measure of suffering. But that suffering with Christ and like Christ and for Christ will motivate us to obey Christ. You know, if we're suffering for him, there's a pretty good chance we're not going to simply wander easily into sin. Because we're adamant, we're suffering, we're focused on Christ and pleasing him. And so this is what Christ did. He suffered for us. We arm ourselves likewise and suffer for him, for his glory and for his honor. And when we do that, it says, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And that's not easy. But the Lord will help us. And when we have a mind of Christ, we won't see it as misery to suffer somehow in the flesh for Christ. We'll see it as a blessing. We'll see it as a privilege. No matter what that suffering looks like, whether we're going through challenges or pain or difficulties, when we trust Christ, when we think like Christ, and we're allowing him to use us for his glory, we'll abstain from sin. It'll help us, and we'll honor him. We're out of time, so I'll stop. First 4 points, we've got 3 more to get to, is number 1, there's reason to renew. New way of living means a new way of thinking. Number 2, God minds our minds. He sees what we think. He pays attention. And he wants us to think in ways that are healthy, in ways that are honoring to him, in ways that demonstrate our love for him. God minds our minds. Number 3, he wants us to be humble-minded. The third thing about renewing our mind is that we can become more humble in our thinking, humble in our acting, in our demeanor. And number 4, he wants us to be Christ-minded, to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think like he did. And when we think like Christ, it'll help us to act like Christ. And the Bible says that he must increase and we must decrease, get smaller, so that people don't look at Tim and say, well, Tim's this, Tim's that. Look at Tim. Not that they would, but they might look at me and say, I see Christ in his life. And, you know, that, as believers, that's what we want. When we leave this world, I don't want to be remembered for being a hunter or being a whatever. I guess that's the only thing I got going for me this fall, but, you know, having a full head of hair or anything like that. But I want people to remember me for my love for Christ. I could care. I hope they do. I hope that he never shut up about Jesus. He was always talking about the Bible, that guy, that Tim. Wonderful. That's the way that I want to end. And so the Lord will help me think that way so that I can live that way. And these are just a few thoughts in regards to the reasons why it's important to renew our mind so that we can glean and utilize these wonderful resources that the Bible tells us about, like humility and like thinking like Christ and abstaining from sin and all these things. Anyway, appreciate your patience. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a mind like Christ. Father, as new creatures, all things are becoming new, including the way that we think, the way that we think about the world around us, the way that we handle the challenges of life, one another, and you. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your patience. Thank you that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he changes our heart, he changes our destination, but he also changes and desires to change the way that we think, the way that we live our lives, the way that we view the world around us. And so, Lord, thank you for your patience again and help us as we grow. Help us, Father, to train, to put effort, to be, Lord, actively noticing the ways that we think and trying to curb the ways that we think, especially, Lord, to be more like Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we ask for your help as we do this, and we thank you for your patience, and we love you. And we thank you for Jesus, Lord, our Savior. Lord, thank you for this group again. And as we leave tonight, we pray for your blessing. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and close, folks. I'll get it right this evening. 320.